540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. President Biden is responding to the arrest and the charging of a suspect in the leak of classified Pentagon documents. CBS's Stephen Portnoy is with the president in Ireland.
In a written statement issued as he continues his tour of County Mayo, Ireland, the president commended the quick investigation into the leak. He says officials are still working to determine the validity of the documents. He said here yesterday he wasn't aware of any of the material being of great consequence. The White House statement says going forward, the president has directed that steps be taken to limit distribution of sensitive military and intelligence information.
CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum says there's a good reason for that.
There is little doubt that the government wanted to move swiftly to make an arrest and proceed to arraignment with the charges against the leaker. As we've come to learn from the problems Donald Trump and Joe Biden have been having with classified documents, we know that once they leave the building, America's national security becomes at risk.
The Justice Department has charged multiple members of Mexico's Sinaloa cartel in a fentanyl trafficking investigation. Here's Attorney General Merrick Garland.
Eight of those defendants are now in the custody of our international partners. We will be seeking their extradition to the United States to face charges in federal court. And we will be working closely with our partners in the government of Mexico to seek the extradition of other defendants.
The Biden administration and the maker of the abortion pill, mifepristone, are asking the Supreme Court to preserve access to the medication amid conflicting court rulings. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
I think there are some indications that if the Supreme Court follows what is typically the law for imposing a stay in any case, then they should just push pause on the entire decision that was made by Judge Kaczmarek last week.
Consumers are tightening their spending. Details from CBS's Jason Brooks.
Retail sales fell 1% in March from the previous month, accelerating the decline in February, with the annual gain of 2.9% down from more than 5% growth in February. Spending was down for electronics, home furnishings, apparel, motor vehicles and parts, and building materials, with electronics seeing a more than 10% plunge from a year earlier. One thing consumers aren't pulling back on is eating out, with restaurant and bar sales up 13% from a year ago.
A robotic explorer is headed toward Jupiter on a European Space Agency mission nicknamed JUICE.
The JUICE mission is one of Europe's most ambitious planetary flights to date. Spacecraft is loaded with 10 state-of-the-art instruments, including ground-penetrating radar and others that'll peek below the frozen crusts of three moons.
CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and maximum success with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. It's a third straight day of red flag warnings in Wisconsin. Wardens say they responded to 21 wildfires yesterday. The biggest was 3,000 acres in Monroe County. They're calling the Arcadia Fire. Governor Evers declared a state of emergency this week. A judge in Waukesha is increasing the amount of money Darryl Brooks owes his victims to more than $500,000. Prosecutors say there's a chance Brooks could sell the book or movie rights to his story and make money. Brooks is serving six life sentences for driving through the Waukesha Christmas parade crowd in 2021. In sports, the Bucks find out their first-round playoff opponent tonight. It'll either be Miami or Chicago. The Brewers beat San Diego last night 4-3. Eric Lauer starts tonight for Milwaukee. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
The SHA 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
Max Inc. Radio presents Bomb Blastica 2023. It's Max Inc.'s 27-year anniversary party, and you're invited. Bomb Blastica at the Wisco on Willie Street, Saturday, April 15th. Max Inc. Radio's Jimmy K. Rocker and Terry Barr will broadcast live 6 to 9 p.m. Then live music from Eclipse record recording artist Carbellion. With special guest, Milwaukee's Wizard Hammer. Like a pyre, feathery wings, black in the sky, as the wind sings. And Mad City's own hard rockers, Iron Plow. We are the Iron Plow. Hey! It's Bomb Blastica 2023, Saturday, April 15th at the Wisco in Madison. Sponsored by Rocker Vodka and Hotel K Pet City. Presented by Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
That's all you can give is $50. You probably need that $50 more. The candidates are getting $20,000 from their biggest donors. But on top of that, those big donors are then writing checks to Ben Wickler for $200,000,
yeah,
or $2 million. And so our democracy, this is the major point I'm driving to. I know it's taken a while.
That's okay. Sure, on dueling tangents, it's all right when we meander a little bit with our tangents.
But the main point is it shouldn't just be a handful of super rich people on the left versus a handful of super rich people on the right,
right,
who are dominating our electoral arena. We all should be able to have an equal play and an equal say in the electoral arena, and we don't when we have all this money coming from just the fat cats.
Yeah, there are, I think, a lot of things to look at last Tuesday for hope and good signs moving forward. And I think that is one of those ones. It's still a cautionary tale.
The question I have is whether any Republicans are going to come around for campaign finance reform. Senator Chris Larson, the great Democrat from the Milwaukee area, every session over the last several has introduced a comprehensive package to lower the amounts that the super rich can give, to prevent people from being able to give, you know, six figures, seven figures to the party or to the outside, other outside groups. It was funny to see that Dan O'Donnell, the right-wing guy, said, oh, my God, there was a loophole somehow snuck into something that Walker wrote in the campaign finance reform. Well, they wrote it because they thought they were going to benefit from all the time. It wasn't a loophole. It was a design.
Yeah.
But Dan O'Donnell is coming around to campaign finance reform, but I doubt the Republican leadership will. And actually, I doubt that the Democratic leadership will. And maybe that Larson, just as a kind of a backbench senator, will be the one who is leading the charge here and may not get support from all of his colleagues. I'm anxious to talk to him.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how a proposal like that will be seen in future sessions. I don't know how much it's going to get now, but again, there's a lot of groundwork to be done when it comes to getting more transparency in our campaign finance and making it so that we don't have such an outsized influence by such a small group of individuals. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Friday afternoon by Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. If you want to share a tangent with us on this Friday afternoon, 844-967-2789. We also got a proposal coming up in the state legislature, and you've got an op-ed coming out next week on this bill. We're going to get into that a little bit more coming up in this next segment, Matt, but there's a lot to be talking about still. Yes, the spring election is behind us.
Take a deep breath. Finally, exhale.
Yes, we could exhale for a little bit, but democracy is not a spectator sport. It takes us paying attention and keeping an eye on things like really hampering down on protests and the freedom of speech and assembly in the First Amendment. So we're going to get into that. Also going to be joined by Brooke Skidmore, owner of the Growing Tree Child Care Center and a member of the Main Street Alliance, coming up at 2:30, having a conversation about what child care provisions can be funded in this upcoming budget. Really excited to have those conversations and your phone calls, 844-967-2789. Dueling Tangents, we'll be right back.
The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last, 'cause the times, they are a-changing.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with the Civic Media network of radio stations.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues. From the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 78. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies again tonight. Lowest level off around 54. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 78. A blend of clouds and sun. A dusting of snow Sunday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 79 degrees.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
And I wish Wisconsin the best of luck, because I think it's going to need it.
It was a beautiful day. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to take us with you on the go, download the Civic Media app. You can jump from station to station, see all of the excellent programming that we have across the Civic Media network right there on the app. Go to your app store, either the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. Download Civic Media app. You can take us with you on the go. Joined in studio by Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And so we shared our takeaways from last Tuesday's results. And it's important to keep an eye on what's to come in the Wisconsin legislature. We got a budget session coming up. We're excited to talk about the joint finance listening sessions and some of the lobbying that has been done by local organizations working with Brooke Skidmore next segment, Matt. But you brought to my attention, I had heard a little clamoring about this proposal, but you showing me an opinion piece coming out next week talking about a proposal before the Wisconsin legislature to clamp down on and really disincentivize, make people think twice about protesting. And can you tell us a little bit more about this proposal before the Wisconsin legislature and why it's such a threat to First Amendment rights?
Sure. This is called sometimes the riot bill or the riot bills. It already passed the assembly, and it passed so fast I didn't have time to get over there and testify because I didn't see the posting that they were going to have even a hearing on it. So they just whisked it through shortly after the session opened. It hasn't been called in the Senate committee yet, and I will be testifying there against it. The ACLU has already lodged their opposition to it, as did Wisconsin Conservation Voters. Here's the problem. We don't need a bill that criminalizes a riot. First of all, they define a riot in a real weird way.
Very vague way,
yeah,
as well.
I mean, there are two parts to it. One is a specific part. It's an act of violence, but we don't need that because acts of violence are already against the law.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't destroy property. That's against the law. You can't
assault is against the law.
Can't hit anybody. Yeah. You can't, burn a building down. Arson's against the law.
Yep.
So why do we need that? And but the other part of the bill is even more pernicious, and that is it makes it a felony to encourage people to participate in a riot. And so they call this incitement to riot, but then they define incitement super loosely, including just the verb to encourage. Well, what does that mean? You're encouraging someone so to commit a riot, and a riot is defined as either an act of violence or inciting someone. So you could be encouraging someone to incite someone. I mean, so it just kind of goes round and round.
It's very strange.
And, I mean, the example I'm using in this piece that the Wisconsin Examiner is going to run on Monday is, you know, what if someone from the microphone said, we got to follow Malcolm X's advice and, you know, demand change by whatever means necessary. And, you know, someone might say, well, you're inciting people to a riot. You're inciting people to commit violence. Really? You're encouraging people. Well, you know, it's just so loosely and vaguely defined that it is going to allow a prosecutor to round up a lot of people. And then I was reading from the assembly hearing that they did have some of the police organizations that are in favor of the bill. And one of the, I think it was the Fraternal Order, said, yeah, we need this bill because there were so many people last summer at the Black Lives Matter protests who were inciting the protests that got away with it. Really? They're just going to start rounding people up for this, encouraging people to protest when some violence or even a threat of violence. So you could have something that they call a riot where there's no violence whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
There was just a threat.
Yeah.
And no one committed any act.
Or they claim that the threat was there, even though there was no likely chance of violence. If somebody wanted to say, oh, I felt threatened, all of a sudden this could be used against individuals assembling and exercising their First Amendment rights of protest. And strangely enough, it's the same people that downplayed the insurrection.
I know, that's the ultimate irony, isn't it?
That is the most frustrating part to me, because people that said, oh, like our senior senator here in Wisconsin, it wasn't an armed insurrection. They didn't actually have guns. No, those got left on the National Mall. They didn't bring the guns to the Capitol building with them. And bogus downplaying of the threat that was on January 6th, and then want to be able to pass legislation like this to further target individuals that they don't want to see protesting. And those ambiguities being there so that individuals that look a lot like me, a white male, would not have this be brought against them. It's going to be used, I believe, improperly against minorities that are protesting and assembling and exercising their First Amendment rights.
Right. I mean, it's not going to be, you know, the white frat kids on Langdon Street after a football game who are trashing the joint who are going to be arrested for felony
riot. I was one of those once. I never rioted, but I was one of those guys once. So
if you said, let's turn over that car out front, you would be guilty of a riot under this definition.
I would already be going and getting a ticket or arrested for property damage. So I agree with you.
Breaking windows, trashing the lawn, anything.
Very unnecessary piece of legislation. Thank you very much for bringing that to light, Matt. And you're going to be doing a little fill-in shift for the Devil's Advocates coming up next week as well with this op-ed published on Monday in Wisconsin Examiner. What can listeners expect for the fill-in for Matt Rothschild on Tuesday with the Devil's Advocates?
Well, Crudy put the arm on me, and so I had to say yes. So I'll be behind the mic from 4 to 6 on Civic Media, subbing in there for the Devils.
All right, and you also got a listening session going on up in La Crosse.
Yeah, I'm getting my car, driving up to La Crosse on Monday night. If it's not snowing, it's supposed to snow on Sunday night and Monday morning.
Spring in Wisconsin. It's 80 today, and maybe snow coming up soon.
But yeah, I'm talking to the La Crosse County Democratic Party folks, so I'm looking forward to that.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining me on your very busy schedule, Matt, on this Friday afternoon. Really appreciate it. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. We got Brooke Skidmore coming up next, talking joint finance listening sessions and lobbying surrounding child care here in this upcoming budget. Stay tuned.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. The Air National Guardsman arrested in connection with a months-long intelligence leak has been charged. CBS's Willie James Inman.
The 21-year-old installed fiber optic cable at a military base in Massachusetts.
Speaking overseas Thursday, President Biden expressed concern about the leak, but downplayed any great consequence from the breach.
The Biden administration is turning to the Supreme Court amid conflicting court rulings on an abortion pill. Jessica Levinson is a CBS News legal contributor.
What we're talking about now is just which parts of that decision are put on pause while the case works its way through the system.
And Attorney General Merrick Garland has announced charges against several members of Mexico's powerful Sinaloa drug cartel.
As outlined in an indictment unsealed today in the Southern District of New York, the Sinaloa cartel is largely responsible for the surge of fentanyl into the United States over the last 8 years.
CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Wildfires are raging in Wisconsin for a third straight day. Crews responded to 21 wildfires yesterday, including the 3,000-acre Arcadia fire. Several people have had to evacuate their homes, but we don't know of anyone getting hurt. There's rain and cooler temperatures in the forecast tomorrow. Fires aren't the only problem in Wisconsin. Flooding on the Wisconsin River means several people in Wausau are having to evacuate their homes. Planners say high water not only poses a danger to people who live in flood zones, but to rescue workers who might be called to pull people out. In sports, the Bucks find out their first-round playoff opponent tonight. It'll either be Miami or Chicago. The Brewers beat San Diego last night 4-3. Eric Lauer starts tonight for Milwaukee. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Four times the fun, four times the excitement, four times the reasons you need to get to the Oasis Project's May 4th Splash for Cash event at Springwater Park. Join us for a day of fun in 45,000 square foot indoor water park, water slide, activity pools, game arcade, snack shop, 50-50 raffle,
all right, I won,
and 100 envelope ball. Go to oasisprojectwi.org/splash. That's oasisprojectwi.org/splash.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Said I'm pulling down the shades for the long ride. Never knew that I could feel so black and blue. And I've been holding on to something now for some time. And all I know is it's a feeling fit for two. Cause when the sunlight lays,
welcome back to Dueling Tangents. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media, broadcasting from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side. I'm Luke Mathers, now joined on this Friday afternoon by Brooke Skidmore, the co-owner and administrator of the Growing Tree Child Care Center in New Clarus, Wisconsin. And Brooke, you do lobbying efforts and communications for the child care industry, as a member of that industry, encouraging our lawmakers to be able to address the crisis that we have right now of needing to be able to deliver more options for child care, as well as affordable options for members of our community. And really appreciate you taking time out of your Friday afternoon to join me and share what you've been working on in those efforts. How are you doing on this Friday afternoon?
I'm doing okay. I'm glad it's Friday, but thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I really appreciate you taking the time. And so we were connected because you work with a number of different organizations, but Main Street Alliance, one of those organizations, advocating right now for folks that are unaware. We are currently in the midst of the budget negotiations going on for Wisconsin's next two-year budget. And we historically have a surplus that could be invested in Wisconsin in a number of different ways, and that surplus nearing $7 billion in that area of $7 billion, and those resources can be invested or sent to tax cuts. There's a lot of negotiations going on right now before the Joint Finance Committee, which is the legislative committee that will be doing a bulk of the writing of this budget. And right now, the Joint Finance Committee is holding listening sessions around the state of Wisconsin, looking to get input. And you recently participated in a lobbying effort with Main Street Alliance and other organizations, encouraging lawmakers to be able to take advantage and invest in a program for childcare here in Wisconsin. What can you tell us a little bit about your recent experiencing speaking with lawmakers on this subject?
So last week I met with four Joint Finance Committee members on the Republican side, none of which am I a constituent of. So it was very nice that I was able to meet with their offices and learn their perspective of why they historically do not support childcare. Wisconsin provides zero funding for early childcare. It's not a line item on the state budget. So I was able to meet with four of them last week, and hopefully I was able to provide a different perspective, because I think there is some misunderstanding. For example, one of the offices said, well, because we discussed the teacher shortage in childcare, which is because of the low wages in childcare. And he said, everybody right now is, you know, having a workforce shortage. And the thing to connect the dots, though, is that there is a workforce shortage because there's not childcare. Parents can't work. We live in childcare desert, so parents either can't find childcare or they can't afford it, because the cost of childcare, you know, rivals that of paying for college tuition. In the county that I live in right now, just for one child, the total household income pays 19% of their income for childcare. So that means a lot of families either can't afford it, or they're choosing between food, housing, medical, things like that.
Yeah, and that is, I mean, $1 in $5 of a household going towards childcare nearly is a tremendous, tremendous problem that needs, in my opinion, at least, action from our lawmakers to be able to address those problems. And so what exactly are we able to advocate for coming up? So as you mentioned, no line items currently in the Wisconsin state budget for childcare. What kind of proposals are there right now that Wisconsinites could encourage their lawmakers, listeners to this program, and or anybody out there could encourage their lawmakers to be able to support ahead of these budget negotiations?
Right. So to go back with ARPA funds, the federal funding that our state received, the Department of Children and Families, which is who regulates the child care industry in our state, they utilize the ARPA funds to improve the wages for child care. So applying for that, you either had to provide bonuses for your teachers or increase the wages, which we all did that applied. And because of that, our state average went from $10.66 wage for a teacher, which is, of course, awful, to $12 now. And at the same time, I want to mention over 50% of us have an associate's degree or higher, and we're still making bottom pay. The federal money is set to run out the end of this year. So the ask is $300 million. The governor added $40 million to it. So it's $340 million is the ask. And that ask is just to continue this program, which is a stabilization program. All it has done is tried to reduce the amount of programs closing, because we have been in a decline for years prior to COVID. But COVID did exacerbate the situation, causing more and more childcare deserts in our state. And of course, that affects our economy. Because of the lack of childcare, we lose billions of dollars a year. So we're just asking to stabilize it. I personally would like to ask to fix it and actually fund childcare, because it's the most critical time of education in a person's life. 90% of brain development occurs before the age of five. We are able to create those foundations for children, teaching them self-regulation, how to have relationships, how to be ready to learn when they do go to the K-12 system. So you were talking earlier about how to get them. One of the things is acknowledging that childcare is an investment, and it affects everybody. It's not just your child, your problem type situation. When we don't take care of our children, we take care of them later on in health costs, in our state assistance programs, in our prison systems, which we pay an extreme amount. I believe it was over $1 billion for our prison systems. And yet we pay nothing for childcare, which would be preventative, because we know when children experience quality early childcare, they're more likely to graduate high school, go to college. They're more likely to be healthier and have a higher tax base. So that's how it helps our economy. This affects everybody. So again, I would like a fix, which is to invest in the wages for teachers so that we have a consistent support to count on. Right now, it's hard. A lot of providers are doing the bonuses because come January of next year, that funding isn't there. And surveys have been done to the providers to see what will happen when that funding, if it doesn't pass. And a large number will close their doors. And I am probably one of those as well.
So without action from the Wisconsin legislature and the governor ahead of this next budget cycle, if these problems aren't addressed with even the stopgaps, it sounds like, that we could be facing a further exacerbation of childcare providers closing their doors because of the current situation. Folks, you're listening. Go ahead.
I just want to, our funding, we gave raises to our teachers, and part of that was in hopes that we could recruit teachers with the higher wage rate. However, Quick Trip and the gas stations, Target, everybody also increased their wages, so we're not competitive still. But without the funding, that would mean I'd have to decrease their wages, which you can't do that, and that's not an option right now. And I'm already the most expensive in our county for tuition rates. My parents can't afford me to hike up tuition any more than it already is. So that's why this is a community issue, and we need to step up as a government and support this.
Yeah, absolutely. Shifting the cost to the parents of the children as well does not necessarily solve that problem. It just shifts the cost. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined by Brooke Skidmore, co-owner and administrator of the Growing Tree Childcare Center in New Glarus. And Brooke, we've got a historic surplus that could be used to invest, $7 billion of surplus at the state coffers. And so in the millions of dollars that the stopgap would be needed, but what kind of dollar amounts would we be having for investing in these programs rather than just trying to do a stopgap? What would it look like, in your opinion, of how to be able to further improve and fund this very vital need at an actual level rather than just trying to stop the bleeding?
Well, right now, because only it's an issue of inequity, because right now the more wealthier people can afford childcare and they know how important it is. So they're accessing it where people with less income base are not able to access it. So it creates this inequity because children are starting school years behind their peers, and research shows that stays pretty stagnant. So it's an equity issue as well. Just as we fund the K-12 system, we need to fund the early childcare system. We have the low wages, as mentioned, we have no benefits. And research has also shown that families to thrive should only pay 7% of their household income towards childcare. So there's a few options that we could look at And it's not like we would be creating the wheel. Most countries do support childcare. We're actually one of the bottom of countries, developed countries. We're only ahead of Croatia, actually, for supporting childcare. But it would be doing the numbers just to increase the wages by like $4 to $5 with the workforce that we have currently in Wisconsin, we'd be looking at like $200 million.
Okay.
But that's just a couple of dollars. We need to get our wages up to the Wisconsin, the state average, which is $19. Right now, on average, people, workers that don't have a high school degree make more than we do. You make more to take care of dogs than you do children.
Wow.
So it's an investment that brings a rate of return for every dollar spent. The average is $14. And I think it's very telling because the younger the child, a one-year-old will bring about $16 return, where a 4 or 5 year old will bring like the $12 or $13 rate of return. So it will pay itself too. It is an investment, and it's a good investment for our families, for our communities, for our workforce.
Yeah, a terrific value that could be received with the surplus that we have, that we could use portions of that surplus to be able to make those investments. And I think it's also important to point out, as you've noted, the workforce shortage that we have here in Wisconsin, in both the childcare industry and industries abroad, like across the state, it's only going to get worse in the coming years, with studies predicting us as a state, the state of Wisconsin, being shy 130,000 jobs by the end of this decade. Taking the steps now to invest in addressing some of those possible even further workforce shortages just, to me, makes sense. For listeners out there that want to be able to get involved and advocate, similar to you yourself in this organization, or telling their lawmakers, what is the best way for listeners to be able to, during this budget season, for lack of a better term, how can they get involved to advocate their lawmakers to include provisions like these childcare provisions for the next 2-year budget?
It would be great if people were calling the Joint Finance Committee members, even regardless if you're their constituent, you are, as they are part of the state committee, calling your own representatives as well, but letting them know to support childcare, that it is important. Because when I met last week with the offices of the Joint Finance Committee, the four, the response, the feeling I got is they are not planning on supporting it. And the Republicans make up the majority. And this is, the childcare issue is not even a partisan issue. Over 80% of voters agree to support childcare. So why they're not listening to the constituents, I don't know. That was not able to be answered in my meetings. So we need to call, we need to use our voice and let them know that this is a priority. And if they're not going to listen, then maybe they shouldn't be in that position.
Absolutely. I believe everybody out there can get in contact with their lawmakers, encourage them to support childcare in the upcoming 2-year budget. Brooke Skidmore, thank you so much for joining me on this Friday afternoon. Really appreciate it. I hope you have a terrific weekend, and we hope to have you back on soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. One more segment left in the day, then the weekend. We'll be right back.
Max Inc. Radio presents Bob Blastica 2023. It's Max Inc.'s 27-year anniversary party, and you're invited. Bob Blastica at the Wisco on Willie Street, Saturday, April 15th. Max Inc. Radio's Jimmy K. Rocker and Terry Barr will broadcast live 6 to 9 p.m. Then live music from Eclipse record recording artist Carbellion. With special guest, Milwaukee's Wizard Hammer. Like a pyre, feathery wings, black in the sky, and the wings. And Mad City's own hard rockers, Iron Plow. We are the Iron Plow. Hey! It's Bomb Blastica 2023, Saturday, April 15th at the Wisco in Madison. Sponsored by Rocker Vodka and Hotel K Pet City. Presented by Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me? text and whatever, just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows around 54. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered storms. High temperatures reach up to 78. Scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow night. Lows around 56. Cloudy skies expected. A dusting of snow Sunday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 79 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Tangents. We are in the final segment before the weekend. If you want to share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. It's 844-96-PARTY. And really want to thank both Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and Brooke Skidmore, co-owner of the Growing Tree Child Care Center in New Glarus, for joining me on this Friday afternoon. It is now time for a little Most Wisconsin Headline of the Week. I didn't forget about it, folks. We've got them. And I've got two different entries. And Evan, I want you to tell me which one you think is a little bit more the Most Wisconsin Headline of the Week. I got two of them, and there's two submissions here.
The Most Wisco, let's see.
The Most Wisco. Let's do this one first. We got the piece of legislation, and it's been referred to a little bit already throughout this week, but I think this has got to be one of the most Wisconsin headlines, if not the most. But both U.S. senators representing the state of Wisconsin are behind it, so you know it's got to be good then. When those two can agree upon it, it's pretty Wisconsin.
Okay.
And that is the CURD Act. The fact that there is legislation named the CURD Act, talking about the regulatory definition of dairy.
All right.
So this is what it is, Evan. Officially, CURD, or Codifying Useful Regulatory Definitions Act.
Allows
consumers to know exactly what is in their cheese products. Almond, oat, and coconut milk are widely considered good dairy alternatives, especially for those who are sensitive or unable to digest dairy products. But the general plant manager of Nasonville Dairy, Ken Hyman, wants people to know that it's a trick.
Big dairy, man. Look
it should not
dairy.
Say milk on it. To begin with, that's what
almond milk is a deception, he's saying.
Yeah, essentially. And so but coming up and naming that act, the CURD Act.
No, man.
CURD?
No.
Come on. That's pretty good use of Wisconsin terminology there.
And taxpayer money. We almost certainly, apparently, truly hire people whose job it is to come up with these things.
Oh, yeah. Every legislative staff member has somebody that's really good with acronyms.
Like full-time.
I don't know if it's just that sole responsibility of theirs, Evan.
Almost certainly, man.
No, you just have a creative guy like Brian who can do things like this and many other things as well.
No, I don't think so, man.
You're against it? Okay. And then the other, so this is pretty Wisconsin. I want to say this is the most Wisconsin headline of the week. But the one that I saw first earlier in the week, talking about how a tied election in Sister Bay, in the Door County region of Wisconsin, Sister Bay, Wisconsin, a tie-breaking determination for village president, Evan. Do you know how they broke the tie? Did you hear this one?
No, I haven't. No.
See, I saw the headline and it was rolling of a die, and I immediately pictured just bar dice, like a little dive bar. You're sitting at the bar, Sister Bay Bowl, or one of the other terrific bars
up in Sister Bay. Three beers in,
and you're like, oh, we counted all the votes, and it's tied even. We gotta play some bar dice to see who the actual winner is. That's what I pictured in my head. It was actually just a roll of the die determining who was the winner of the village president race in Sister Bay. But that's a pretty Wisconsin headline of the week as well. Coming up with playing dice to determine the tiebreaker of an election here in Wisconsin.
They should just make pull tabs, you know?
That would have been so good. You got to get through the pull tab machine and you got to find the one with the winner.
Missed opportunity.
That would be the most Wisconsin way to break an election. You're right. And for that, Evan, I think we do have to give it to the CURD Act as the most Wisconsin headline.
The most groan-inducing.
Yes. And WSAW up in Channel 7 for CBS in Wausau had the headline, "The CURD Act looking to take non-dairy products out to pasture."
Oh, my
and that
good
is
Lord.
Officially, folks, your Dueling Tangents most Wisconsin headline of the week right there.
There's an acceptable level of punnage. There is. You know, there's kind of an ironic, you know, yeah, it sucks, but it's still funny in a way.
Yeah.
We're past it. We're just so far
past it.
I don't know. Yes. Are they trying to be cute?
Well, but in the defense of the act, Evan, have you ever heard of almond curds?
I have not.
Or soy curds?
Who's asking is the real question.
Coconut curds? Like, there is a point there, and the fact that the whichever staffer came up with curd to use as the acronym this one.
They were so happy with themselves.
They were clever because you can have different types of milk. Milk would be too easy.
We got goat milk.
Exactly.
Cat milk.
Well, those are all still dairy products. Those are true, not substitutes for dairy. I hope not. Yes, that's not the case. But I think the CURD Act, and the out to pasture is just you think that's too punny?
We're getting there. We're getting there.
You think that's too punny?
You're wearing slacks at work. You got loafers on, and you're giggling to yourself at your desk. I don't know, man. I can't think of a single thing.
I giggled when I saw the out to pasture one. So
if you or me came up with it, it'd be different, you know.
Fair enough. I was gonna say I don't wear slacks or loafers to work, so that wouldn't be me.
You look great.
Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. Really appreciate you tuning in for this Friday edition of the show. And again, want to thank both Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, as well as Brooke Skidmore, co-owner of the Growing Tree Child Care Center, for joining me on this Friday edition of Dueling Tangents. Really excited. We got the Cripes Cast coming up this weekend. You can listen across Civic Media at noon. Charlie Burns, host of the Cripes Cast and the Manitowoc Minute, putting on that podcast for and from people of the Midwest.
And if he came up with it, it'd be funny because you know it's coming from this ironic point. Like,
what if he was the one that submitted the CURD Act?
Then I'm behind.
I'm on board. It completely depends on who came up with the acronym.
It's true. There's sort of a funny badge, you know.
You got.
It's like Boy Scouts. Got to get your funny badge.
Got to get your funny badge first. Okay. All right. But we got the Cripes Cast coming up on Saturday and Sunday at noon. We got a very special edition of Max Inc. Radio as well this evening. Not this evening. Saturday evening. They got Bomblastica going on for Max Inc. So you can tune in for that live on location, 6 to 9 p.m. And the rest of Max Inc. from 9 p.m. to midnight. You can tune into that on Saturday. And Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger replays on Saturday and Sunday at 1 o'clock. As well as we got Let's Get Local with Jason Hafeman at 11 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be a jam-packed weekend full of content here at Civic Media. You want to stay tuned. You can listen to the Brewers tonight as they take on the next team in the West Coast road trip that they are on. San Diego took care of business last night in extra innings. Got three more games against the Padres before they head up to Seattle before they head home. And you can listen to those games on WISS Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM in Oshkosh, and WRCE in Richland Center. If you missed any portion of this show, go check out the podcast. Dueling Tangents will be back on Monday. Talk to y'all then.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.